Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. Yes, I said greetings. This is not Bob Enyart, the nation's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Bob is on a secret mission again today, working to wrench the world to the right is what he's trying to do. I want to wish a happy Ramadan to all of our Muslim listeners out there. Forget Father's Day. It's Ramadan after all. And everybody knows Ramadan is peaceful and joyful and you're hungry for a while, but then you go out, you get something to eat, you blow something up, maybe cut off a head. It's a festival is what it is. We'll get to some Islamic news, but I have other news. I have other news just about my daily life. I'm Doug McBurney, by the way, the host of the Weekly Worldview and longtime co-host here at Bob Enyart Live on the mighty 670 KLT. I want to thank Bob for allowing me to be in the studio. On my drive over here this morning, as I was navigating the country roads out east of the metropolitan area, came across three horses that I see every other day or so because they're right up the road from my house. And every time you drive by these large mammals, every time I drive by, I always wonder what's going through their heads. Are they thinking about stuff? How smart are these animals? So this morning I'm heading over to the studio, and here are these three horses. One is that brownish-reddish color that you see in so many horses. And then another is a small Shetland pony, a black with kind of gray wisps in the mane and the tail. And the third is a beautiful paint, white and brown, just three beautiful examples of horse flesh. And now usually when I drive by these horses, they're back there on the back 40 and they're just munching away on the grass and they're over by the loafing shed or the barn, just minding their own business. And I've often wondered, what are they thinking about? Do they see the car driving by? Do they wonder, what is that all about? Do they know what a road is? Do they understand the concept of a fence? Well, I may have gotten an answer this morning because as I was driving past, there was a section of the fence that was broken down. And the top strand and the second strand of the barbed wire was draped down onto the grass. And there was a spot right there where if the horses had their act together and they were thinking about it, all they would have to do is step over the fence and they would be standing on Highway 79, which is a two-lane road with no shoulder, one of the most dangerous highways in the state, I'm sure. And the three horses were congregated right at this point, all three of them standing in almost in the configuration of, if you think of a Mercedes-Benz logo, there you have the three horses, all of them pointed as if to true north, right to the break in the fence. And they're standing about 3 feet back from the fence. Cars are whizzing by on Highway 79. And all three horses are standing there looking at the fence, obviously contemplating what is happening with this fence. Is it truly possible that I could step out right now out of this area where I've been kept fenced in my entire life? Is it possible I could step out right now? And then whoosh, whoosh, car comes by, the horse steps back, thinks about it again. So these are the kind of things I contemplate. Now, I pulled over and I went and knocked on the door. I had to drive up to the house about a quarter of a mile, knocked on the door. Nobody's home. Nobody's home. And here are the horses standing, trying to comprehend this break in the fence. And I'm thinking at any moment there's going to be a jailbreak. The horses are going to realize what's going on. They're going to put two and two together, and one of them is going to step out onto the highway and quite possibly injure or kill himself and some poor driver. Knocked on the door. Nobody's home. And so I called the police. I said, I have an appointment that I cannot miss. But these horses are about to break out. So I called the non-emergency line there, Adams County, and I gave them the approximate location. I'm at Koufax and Highway 79. Please send somebody. I would fix the fence myself because I'm a good neighbor. That's the kind of thing I would do. But I've got an appointment I can't miss. I had to be here for you people. So the sheriff, the Adams County Sheriff, dispatched someone, and I will have to report to you later as to how it turned out. I'm hoping that they sent a sheriff's deputy with some barbed wire out that part of the country. That might be standard equipment in a police cruiser. They keep a little bit of barbed wire and some clippers and a pair of pliers, what you might need to repair a fence for public safety. So this is my life on an average day. I see things like this, and I ponder things like this. And another thing that I want to tell you about is I sometimes take my family out. Now, today I was alone because I was racing into the studio as I received the bat signal from Bob and Your Live headquarters, letting me know that Bob was on a secret mission. I had to come in, swoop in at the last minute, so to speak. And so I was alone. But sometimes I take my family out with me. That's my wife and my three young daughters, young impressionable daughters. And we see things. And then we talk about them. Isn't this what you do? You go out, you see things, you come home, and you talk about them. And more lately, and in fact, you know, this applies more to when my family is out without me. My wife and my daughters will go to the grocery store or a restaurant or a shopping center, and then they will return home and they will discuss the various animals they saw, because we live about 30 miles out in the prairie, and you always get to see some antelopes, sometimes some foxes and wolves even, some mule deer, a lot of cattle. And so there will be a discussion of the animals that we see. That always leads. That's the leading topic of conversation. But then second, there is always then the discussion of the various tattoos and body piercings that were observed that day out in the world. And this is a conversation that takes place every time my family goes out now. We have a conversation about the various tattoos and piercings that we have witnessed throughout the day. And I think the young children are most disturbed. Now, for those of you in the audience who have tattoos and piercings, I don't mean to offend you, but I probably will. So you might want to turn this off right now for the next couple of minutes, or you may never listen again, or I may never be allowed to host again. But I think what bothers the children the most is the older women. Women over the age of 50, which actually that's not older anymore for me. That's just is what it is. Women who could be their grandmother, who have obviously new tattoos. I'm talking bright red and blues and greens with the Vaseline greased up, and grandma just went out and got a brand new tattoo. And now my children have been trained to find this somewhat amusing yet off-putting. And so the conversation quickly deteriorates into 8 and 9 year old children mocking a 50 or 60 year old grandmother type and her various tattoos and piercings and gauges. My youngest daughter knows what a gauge is. That's somewhat disturbing right there that she even has that information in her head. But so animals always get top billing at the McBurney dinner table. Animals. What animals did we see? What did they look like? How cute were they? Is typically the number one topic of conversation. But second is the freaks and the tattoos and the piercings, okay? And the reason I bring that up, there really is no reason that I bring that up. Well, there is, actually. I have a story from the Pew Trust, pewtrust.org, about the regulations of the tattoo industry and how the tattoo industry is exploding. Listen to this. Nearly 4 in 10 people born after 1980 now have a tattoo. And 25% of those people also, or alternatively, have a piercing somewhere on their body other than an earlobe. And with the explosion of what they call body art or body expression, regulators have become concerned that there just aren't enough rules around the tattooing and the piercing. And what with it becoming so popular, well, there needs to be some new regulations. And so the various health officials in states throughout the land right now, as we speak, are contemplating new regulations for the tattooing and piercing industry. And so if you're in that industry, I feel for you that you're about to be regulated. But then again, I really wish you wouldn't do that to people. I would never have it done. In fact, I remember there was a night, I distinctly remember, a night in Kitamai, Okinawa, Japan. I'm off base. It's after dark. Everybody's had a few drinks, and we end up in a tattoo parlor. Me and three or five or nine of my friends, my fellow service members, and they start picking off the wall cartoon characters and bulldogs and snakes, eagles, lightning bolts, various other Halloween-looking satanic, demonic figures that they're now, and they start getting them tattooed on their body for life. In a drunken state in the middle of the night in a foreign land. And I remember looking at the wall and thinking, well, there's really nothing there that I would want on my body for life. Just nothing struck my fancy. And so my friends got tattooed and I did not. And well, they made some fun of me on the way back. Those who remained conscious on the way back to the barracks. They did make fun, some fun of me. But here we are now, 30-some years later, and they now have a fading, blotchy, splotchy-looking whatever it is dripping down their arm, and I still pass for a normal person. And so, well, there you have it. So with the tattooing, we'll get back to that. This is from the Decline and Fall file. If you listen to The Worldview, you know we have a file for everything. And this is the Decline and Fall file, reporting on regulation of the tattooing and piercing industry. And apparently up in Oregon, the legislators up in Oregon had to rewrite their tattooing regulations back in 2012 as the society there in Oregon began its death spiral into the drug-addled milieu that they now occupy. And so if you're going to Oregon and getting tattoos, you can be certain that the tattoo artists and the piercing, what do you call a piercing person? Do they have a moniker, right? Because a tattoo artist is a tattoo artist, right? Piercing, do they have something? Do you want to call me on that? Don't call me on that, because if you know what a piercing professional is called, I probably don't want to hear from you. We probably can't have a civil conversation. No, I'm sure we could, but I'm not taking any calls because I've got too much news. So let's see, North Carolina is one of six states considering body art legislation, this year. Yeah, they're gonna regulate that more. Oh, the number of new Hep C infections in the United States has exploded along with the popularity of tattoos. That's what's got the regulators' attention. You've got a Hep C spike. Now, there's a debate within the regulatory community as to whether or not the spike in Hep C infections is related to an unregulated tattoo industry, or is it the opioid epidemic, which is a very serious problem. I saw a story on the news last night. I had no idea that the problem was as acute as it is right now. The number one killer of American men under the age of 50 is opioid overdose. Did you know that? What's the deal with everybody wanting to kill the pain? Isn't that opioid is a opium? Can I speak? Opium is a painkiller, right? I've had that administered when I was in pain before, and I remember it made me feel kind of sick and it made everything look a little blurry. So it wasn't that good of a time for me. Probably a good thing that I didn't enjoy it too much. But apparently a lot of people in America are seeking to kill the pain, even though they're not technically in pain. And so, and that leads to a lot of people shooting drugs, and then that leads to getting tattoos. I mean, and then you end up, you get piercings and you stretch the ears out. And before long, Bob Enyart Live will achieve our long-stated dream of importing lip plates and neck rings from Africa. And all of the opioid-addicted children will beat a path to our door. A tattooer or a tattooist? My crack staff is researching, but what do they call a piercer? Is there an official moniker for a piercer? The crack staff is on it right now. Now, how did I get off on the opioid thing? Oh, yes, the decline and fall. Why is everybody trying to kill the pain if they're not in pain? I would posit to you that they are in pain. And they're in a type of pain that's more severe than any physical pain. They're experiencing emotional and spiritual pain, the depths of which can be utterly incapacitating, disabling type of spiritual and psychological and emotional pain that build up upon people who have become one and two generations now separated from the wisdom of all the ages and the Creator God. And the good news of Jesus Christ, as our society moves further and further away from those, we will move closer and closer toward an opium pandemic that will rival anything that struck China in the late 19th century. And if you do a little research, you can find out how opium pretty much collapsed one of the most advanced civilizations on the planet in the late 1800s with the Chinese, the opium pandemic. All right, so there, I've given you some homework. You can look that up. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit of domestic politics. Jared Kushner is being dispatched this week by Donald Trump to the Middle East in search of an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal. White House officials are saying now out loud that an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement is a priority for President Trump. One White House official said, according to the Wall Street Journal, the president has asked some of his most trusted advisors to spearhead the peace effort, as they cry peace, peace, and there is no peace. I want to ask you people a question. And this is a rhetorical question. I don't expect an answer, but I expect you to think about it. What concerns God more? The Israeli-Palestinian conflict or the wholesale slaughter of three generations of innocent children? Which do you think is a bigger concern in the economy of the living God as he looks down upon the earth and ponders what his next step might be with his misguided children down here on the face of the earth? Which is a bigger concern to God? And second, a more temporal question, which issue is Donald J. Trump better positioned to bring to a peaceful conclusion? The millennia-old conflict between the Jews and the Arabs, or the wholesale legalized slaughter of innocent children every day right in his own neighborhood? Which should be the bigger priority for Donald Trump if he wants to achieve peace in our time? Can there be peace in our time as long as we, the people, and the men and women we elect decide to tolerate and even promote the slaughter of innocent people right in our own neighborhoods? And if the Palestinians and the Israelis sat down tonight and broke open some, what do the Palestinians eat? They eat couscous. Is that Palestinian? What is that pasty stuff that you wipe up with the pita bread? That's good stuff. You get it at the Damascus restaurant. Anyway, they broke out that and some gefilte fish, and they decided to have a party, and they said, we're going to have peace, 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 and they all cried peace together. And in the meantime, down the street, right in the same neighborhood, the murder of innocent children was being carried out on an industrial scale. Would we be in any better position than we are right now? And what would God think if the Israelis and the Jews decided that they could split the land and split the difference and everybody could be at peace? If throughout the land of Israel, throughout the Arab nations, throughout the Western world, well, primarily in the Western world, the wholesale slaughter of the innocent continues. I think Donald Trump needs to get his priorities straight, because if Donald Trump, being the top law enforcement agent in the land, or I guess he's the boss of the attorney general, the top law enforcement official in the land, if he decided to do something about the wholesale slaughter of the innocent, he could have an effect starting this afternoon if he wanted to. I just don't think it's a priority for Mr. Trump. The priority is peace, peace, when there is no peace. And so he's dispatched Jared Kushner over there, and I'm sure that'll all work out really well. It's just fantastic. All right. Do we want to do more news? I could tell you other stories about when I drive around town. I could always do that. No, we'll talk about the news. We'll talk about the Supreme Court with its latest member. What's the latest member's name there? He was appointed by Donald Trump. I've got his book here. Here we go. I have a book, The Future of Assisted Suicide, by Neil Gorsuch. Neil Gorsuch. It's an enlightened mind put on the Supreme Court by Donald J. Trump. And Neil Gorsuch and the rest of the Supreme Court ruled today. No, I'm sorry. This wasn't today. This was back on Monday. The Supreme Court ruled on Monday that a North Carolina statute that prevents registered sex offenders from accessing social media sites where children are known to be online violates the First Amendment. By the way, that was a unanimous ruling. Did I mention it was unanimous? A unanimous ruling that sex offenders should be allowed to access social media even if and where there are children known to be present. Of course, this could all be avoided if the governing officials here in our nation would follow the Bob Enyart live method of registering sex offenders. 6 feet under with granite right up top there, and then you carve their name so everybody knows exactly where they are at all times. And then you don't have to worry about them accessing the internet and being potentially harming other children. If someone commits a crime like that against a child, there is already a very effective and relatively inexpensive means of registration for them, upon due conviction, of course. But Neil Gorsuch thinks that child molesters should be allowed to go online. Is that putting too fine a point on it? Because I'm not a lawyer. I didn't read all of the briefings and the movements and the motions that they go through up there. So maybe I'm missing something here, but the Supreme Court says that child molesters should be allowed because child molesters retain their First Amendment right to free speech, which is an affront to any understanding of criminal justice that has ever existed anywhere. The fact that a child molester retains any rights is an affront to everything that is good and right and normal. And, normal. That's all. I'm not a radical. I'm normal. It's the Supreme Court that's a bunch of radicals. It's the lawyers running our legislature. They're the ones who are radical. I'm normal. I think we should protect the children and execute the molesters. And for that, I'm considered to be a radical. Well, if we allow the wholesale slaughter of innocent children right in our own neighborhoods, and we allow child molesters to be released from jail out into the world and to retain their First Amendment rights, I can tell you, I predict that the level of violence and bloodshed that the average American experiences on a daily basis will only increase, and not just America. America and the entire Western world. We are in for more of it. You heard about the latest terrorist attack in Finsbury Park. Finsbury Park, London, a 47-year-old father of four, a white guy, a British guy, drove his van into a crowd of Ramadan celebrators after they broke their fast in the evening on Sunday night. He cried. They said he yelled that he wanted to kill all the Muslims. He was subdued, and he asked the crowd to kill him. So here we have the clash of two civilizations. A godless Western civilization that is drug-addled and suicidal. By the way, the guy just separated from his spouse about 6 months ago. He's got a wife and four kids. Well, it says he separated from his partner, so I don't even know how to read that. But let's assume he was married to a girl. Let's just assume that so I don't get sick. He separates from his spouse. He's probably on drugs and suicidal. He's godless, and he represents Western civilization, and now he strikes back at the Muslims who've been blowing up and cutting and knifing and stabbing and burning people all over London for the past month. And so here you have the clash of the two civilizations, the drug-addled, suicidal, godless children of the West, and the true believer, I'm not allowed to call them pagans. Am I not allowed to call the Muslims pagans? Do they have to have more than one god to be pagans? I always considered them pagans, but I don't know what you would call them. The true believer, Islamic fundamentalist fanatic against the godless, drug-addled, suicidal children of the West. That, and so it's playing out right now in London, and I would posit that until, as a global community, we come to grips with the fact that we cannot allow the wholesale slaughter of the innocent to continue, that this level of hatred, violence, bloodshed, attack, and then counterattack, and blood in the streets is only going to increase, I would ask Donald Trump, and I would ask you, and as you lead your family, to get your priorities straight and understand that God cares the most about the innocent. And he will hold you and I responsible more for how we treat the innocent than for anything else that we've done on the earth in our day-to-day lives. And that goes for everyone from the President of the United States right down to the Pope, right down to the priest, right down to the pastor, right down to the pew-dwelling layman there in the church, every one of us. We need to get our priorities straight, ladies and gentlemen, in order for the bloodshed to stop and in order to achieve something that could be called peace. And I'll leave you with that so you can ponder that for another day or so. Bob Inyart will be back as soon as he possibly can. And until then, I want to remind you, as Bob would, to do right and risk the consequences.